Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios, man. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on a Taco Tuesday, because, you know, it's always about the food. Taco Tuesday. Well, listen, I've been in this segment I called By the Numbers, and I gave you some things that I'm seeing out there, just gathering up some resources of my own. But there's somebody out there in my sphere that I've known for a few years. He's an amazing guy. We've had a chance to work together in state politics. He's now on staff with Signal Analytics out of D.C., a national polling firm that does amazing things. And I called him or texted him last night and said, hey, John, could you go ahead and make time for us again today? Give us the update. Where do you see the numbers? So my friend John Rogers, a pollster with Signal Analytics, is on the phone right now. John Rogers, how you doing?
Phil, doing great. Great to be back on with you. Hope you had a great July 4th weekend.
We did, man. We did. And oh, by the way, I'm going to say it in front of all the audience right now. Congratulations, new daddy.
Thank you. Thank you. My wife and I just welcomed our first, a beautiful baby girl, and she is keeping us up late at night on some nights, but it's been a lot of fun the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, so right now the polling numbers for you are, what time is it this time? Oh, it's 2 a.m. this time. Oh, it's 3 a.m. this time.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Well, listen, man, break it down for me. You guys at Signal, y'all do amazing work, and I know you poll on your own and you poll for clients, but then you also wind up just gathering data. What are you seeing out there? Give me some rundowns on some things that sort of tell where the mood of the populace is right now.
Yeah, well, obviously the one big beautiful bill, as President Trump styled it, passed, and it did pass by the July 4th deadline, which a lot of people in D.C. didn't think that was going to happen. But Speaker Mike Johnson did a really phenomenal job in ushering it through his house, and then the Senate made some changes, sent it back, and the House was able to pass it. And then, obviously, President Trump met the deadline that he had set for that bill. And Democrats are going around and saying that they think this gives them a great opportunity in the midterms. But I really don't think that is the case. In polling that we've done over the last month, there are a lot of aspects of the bill that poll quite well when you look at the individual parts. So if you look at eliminating the federal taxes on tips and overtime pay, 72% of voters support that. When you look at increasing the standard tax deduction, 74% of voters support that. Only 18% of voters oppose that. Even when you look at Medicaid, and we asked if people supported adding work requirements for able-bodied Medicaid and food stamp recipients, 66% of American voters said that they support that, and only 28% oppose it. So I don't think that it's necessarily going to be the weapon that Democrats think it will be for them in the midterm elections next year.
Well, and that's my sense of it, too, and I'm glad to hear you say that, because the last thing I want to do is see the slim majority go away halfway through the first, 4 years of recouping. But let me ask you this. Do you have any sense at all? Because right now I would say that the most angst that we see from the Republican side, Democrats are mad about everything, but Republicans, the spending issues and the increase of the debt limit, it gives me pause too. I mean, I have a bit of a beef with that. I also kind of got stuck with the idea that I knew that I had to sort of absorb that in order to get to the other good things in the bill. But is that spending piece strong enough in the anti-bill sentiment to override the good stuff?
So I don't think so is kind of the short answer. And the reason for this is that I think right now voters see both parties as not being particularly concerned with the debt. The debt has gone up under Democratic administrations really fast, but it's also gone up under Republican administrations. And so I think in a way for a lot of voters, it's sort of almost a pox in both houses or a frustration that it seems like we can't do a lot of things to address the long-term debt. But when you look at this, when you look at the extension of the 2017 Trump tax cuts and lowering of the rates in certain cases, I think that voters understand that what President Trump is doing is he's making a bet that the economy is going to grow really fast over the next 3 to 4 years. Productivity is going to continue to rise, and that will be the thing that allows the federal government to be able to address some of the debt concerns and actually have a faster economy across the board.
Well, and we would hope so. And he sort of proved that in his first term that he knows how to spike an economy. And if we can see interest rates come down, if the Fed begins to work with the rest of us, then maybe we can actually see all that come together. All right, what else you got, man? Because there's a whole lot of people out there talking about, is Congress popular? Is Trump popular? Is Musk popular? Where do you see in things in terms of, you know, fave, unfave on people right now?
So for President Trump, if you went back to April, and we do a national poll every single month, if you went back to April, his net favorability was a little bit underwater at -6. It's been underwater for, you know, the last 6 to 7 years. I mean, he's a polarizing guy, right? But it's been stable. It was -6 in April. If you went back to last month, it was at -5. And then here in the poll in July that we just finished up, it's at -5 again. And so people know who Donald Trump is. They have their opinions pretty well formed about him. You know, when you look at some other people, some other political figures across the aisle, J.D. Vance is at a 45% fave, 48% unfave.
Wow.
So -3. But when you look at Kamala Harris, 44% fave, 52% unfave. So a -8 favorability for the former vice president and perhaps the next governor or senator of California, or who knows what exactly she's going to run for. The real challenge for Democrats is they continue to be very unpopular. Congressional Democrats continue to have some of the weakest numbers that they've had in years. And there's really not a central figure that they're uniting behind. Chuck Schumer continues to be very unpopular. Virtually no one knows who Hakeem Jeffries is. And so they're failing. They're really having a tough time uniting behind a messenger, and certainly having a tough time finding a popular messenger right now.
Well, I think that's true. And not just the messenger, but the message itself. I mean, nobody knows what they stand for right now. They seem to stand for anything that's just not Trump. And I don't think that's a winning message right now. I more to come on that, but I tell you what, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. Is there any, just John Rogers talking to Phil Williams, is there any Democrat out there that you look at and go, that's the one who may come along and be the candidate they have to rally around? Do you see anybody out there?
Not, Gavin Newsom is a really skilled communicator, but I think that, you know, he's from California. He comes off as a little bit too much of a salesman. And so he's a very skilled communicator though. But I could see him being the nominee, and it would probably be a fairly tight election. You know, if you go forward to the next presidential election, it's Gavin Newsom versus J.D. Vance, it might be fairly close. But it feels like an eternity until, you know, we haven't even gotten to the year that the midterm elections are going to be held in 2026. And so I think Democrats are going to have to do a lot of soul searching. You see what happened to the New York City mayoral election.
Right.
The far left really emboldened.
Yeah.
And you have openly avowed socialists that are arising to power in the Democratic Party all around the country. And that's going to be something that they're going to have to contend with. And if they put somebody forward who's, you know, pretty radical, you're going to have a J.D. Vance administration or whoever the Republican nominee is in 2028 and 2029.
Well, we'll see. I'd love to think it's a long ways away, but I feel like we're going to wind up starting to see campaign commercials any day now is the way it feels. I mean, we're already talking about polling for 2028. But all right. What else you got, man?
You know, it's really interesting that Democrats just seem fixated on continuing to talk about immigration, and they it's like they're just focused on immigration over and over again. And it's playing though right into the hands, politically speaking, of the Republican Party and the administration. We asked in the July poll, do you support or oppose deporting those illegally in the United States back to their country of origin? Just a straight up question about deporting illegals. 61% of the American public said they support it.
Yeah.
Only 35% oppose it, right? So you get an issue like that that's a +26 in favor of the Republicans, but Democrats just cannot get off that issue. And I think it's something that people who run campaigns for a living, some of the smarter consultants and strategists on the Democratic side, somebody like James Carville, I think they realize, look, we've got to change the topic to talk about inflation. We have to talk about the economy. We got to get back to talking about trying to represent the working class. But for right now, they're seemingly squarely focused on immigration. And every day that J.D. Vance wakes up and there's another, you know, headline from the New York Times or another clip from MSNBC talking about immigration, it just makes his day.
Yeah, it does. And I look at it and think, man, 26, what do you say, is it 26% favorability is what you said, plus 26?
It's plus 26 in support of deportation.
I mean, you couldn't poll, do you love your mama, and get a plus 26. So the idea that we have a bipartisan plus 26 on any issue is significant. And I sooner or later, Democrats got to realize, I guess I'm going to backtrack a little bit. I think part of the reasons why they refuse to acknowledge how bad it is because they know they caused it. And for them to say it's bad now is like saying we were really wrong for 4 years. But still, I mean, digging in your heels every time we do a deportation roundup, for the love, man, recognize that at some point, all you're going to do is to make things worse for yourself. All right, well, tell you what, you covered the big, beautiful bill. You covered some fave, unfave. What else are you seeing out there? And by the way, what do you think about Musk's new One America or America Party? Do you have anything on that?
Yeah, we've done some polling on that, and it seems like I'll just say this. Starting a third party is incredibly hard, as I'm sure you've talked about with your audience, Phil. I mean, it is just a gargantuan task, and in some ways it might be easier to send a man to the moon or to Mars rather than to actually start a successful third party. I mean, I guess you can't count out Elon. I mean, he's got an enormous amount of money, and if he really decided to throw everything at it, he might have a better shot than maybe anybody else. But it's just very, very, very difficult for a lot of different structural reasons to start a third party. One of it is you have 50 different states, and the laws as it regards to party registration differ across all 50 states. And so you have to have a lot of lawyers involved. You have to have a lot of signatures involved. It's just a really long and complicated process. And then you have to actually build a brand from scratch. So, you know, if he did move forward with this, I mean, it might hurt the Republicans a little bit. You might get some libertarians that would drop off a little bit and consider voting for a third party. But, you know, it's also like, what is that party actually going to stand for? Is it going to be talking about Doge? Is it going to be talking about the niche concerns of Silicon Valley tech elites? I mean, who knows, right? And so I think it's really just kind of open for debate about what that third party might stand for. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see if he decides to take the gamble and really invest a lot of money in it.
Yeah, I agree. And part of me almost feels like it's a ruse, you know, like it's like, I'm going to do this thing. Oh, I'm just kidding. You know, I almost feel like that he and Trump might wind up reconciling at some point, or at least reaching detente. Nonetheless, I do think it's a bad idea right now for this third party. It does nothing, because everything they would be draining from the Republican side as opposed to the Democrat side, because it just would. All right, man, we got about a minute left. You got anything else? Did I lose him? I think I just lost John. Well, I guess he's got nothing else. Is he still showing on there? All right. Well, listen, that was John Rogers with Signal Analytics, and he finished up his last comments, and I guess we hit. Nonetheless, that was right at the break time, so we'll go ahead and take the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.